You're listening to the Power Word Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Flux, and now, on with the show! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Gold Podcast, episode number 24. It is Thursday, the 22nd of December, 2011. I'm your host, Flux, along with my co-host, Keelhaul.
Hello.
And we are ready to go. So, Keelhaul, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to have the Mog Father in our presence. do you want to let people know how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can see my deactivated side at Disenchanting Azeroth, my own personal blog at deazeroth.com. It's deactivated. I'm no
Is
longer
making it. Is it deazeroth.com?
Yep, deazeroth.com. Nice. And then my active side, you can find me these days on Twitter. Just the handle's deazeroth, so de as in disenchanting.
Wow, I didn't know that you had a .com.
You don't. Yeah, it was a brilliant move of mine. Start the blog, go for 6 weeks, buy the domain, and then shut it down.
But it doesn't keep the domain. It goes right. It still redirects right. So
yeah, I know. That was the other brilliant move: buying the domain and then redirecting it back to Blogger, because I didn't have time to set up an actual website.
Well, you know, you can go into Blogger settings and actually set your settings up to, but. It's deactivated. It's DE'd.
So, and yeah, the last move that I made on that blog was to change the header and update it for Halloween. So I put a bunch of cobwebs and spiders on it, and I've just left it up there because I think it's actually kind of fitting.
I saw that and I chuckled. I thought you put it up there because, you know. So anybody out there that runs a Blogger blog and needs to know about domain names, Blogger has some pretty good documentation for a lot of different places that have domain names for getting it set up. All right. And I am Flux from Powered Gold. You can find us at poweredgold.net, facebook.com/poweredgold, and we're on Twitter at poweredgold. And we have other stuff. There's lots of little social media buttons that we got on our site for iTunes and Tumblr and all that kind of good stuff. And we just signed up for a Pinterest account, so watch out, everybody. Pinterest is coming. We're going to rub elbows with the crafting community and the, I don't know what else, Twilight community. I don't know. I think Pinterest is going to be interesting.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a site that allows you to have virtual pin boards where it's essentially people can put images in kind of groups and other people can kind of join on to those pin boards and share images together.
Oh, so it's like a Pinterest.
It's like an interest pin board Pinterest. Exactly. I think it will actually, besides it being the like hot like social media thing, which I'm always interested in, I think it could be an interesting way to share pictures and screenshots, and especially like even mogging screenshots. Because I mean, there's not really a good way to kind of have a group photo album kind of thing. I mean, I guess there's groups in Flickr, but that's kind of, you know, nobody really uses that. A lot of people just put their stuff up on Facebook and or I don't know. So that's, I'm going to be playing around with it. Not to get too far off track.
So it's on deck.
Yeah, it's on deck. As always, we have our gold guide, which is guide.poweredgold.net. We have the Chronicle, which is chronicle.poweredgold.net for all your latest WoW gold making news. And the last one we have is a new one that we just started called Tor, TOR.poweredgold.net for people who are playing the old Star Wars The Old Republic and interested in the economy. So, lots of good stuff going on there. Let us get going with this episode. I'm excited. I've been wanting to get you on the show for probably like over a month now, over a month, and more and more as your Twitter's been blowing up.
I know, right?
Making me all jealous, making me jelly. So why don't we just go jump right into it then, Keel Hall. Can I call you Keel? That's what I call you the most.
My close friends call me Keel, yeah.
So can I call you Keel?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
All right. I don't
know. You were my entry point into all this, so absolutely.
Beautiful segue. You're natural. speaking of entry points into let's talk a little bit about kind of how we met and how we came to be. Back in the day when transmogrification was first announced, I think I wrote a couple blog posts about it because it seemed to me that there's not very many new ideas that generally come around for gold making, and this one actually seemed like something that, I don't know if it's, I've never really played on a role-playing realm, but I've always been interested in kind of like making sets, but they just would sit in my bank. But I've been always interested in looks. I'm the hunter that has like 12 different pairs of shoulders and like had to sit in Nagrand and literally disenchant probably about 15 guns delete 15 guns, and I took screenshots of them all before I deleted them all because I was sad.
Seriously, can you just imagine the groan that went across the globe when they announced transmogrification?
Yeah,
for all the stuff that people sold and disenchanted.
My wife has disenchanted stuff and just kept the disenchanting shard because she wanted bag space has been tight over the years when you had to keep all your mounts and all your pets in your bank because they were each individual items. So anyways, one of the comments that showed up on one of these posts was you basically, I think it was probably about 5 paragraphs long, explaining all this stuff about transmogrification. And literally as soon as, I think the first thing I did was write a comment back saying like, hey, we need to, I need to get you on to.
Sounds like you got a lot to talk about.
Yes. So do you want to talk a little bit about kind of what maybe your background is, what about transmog got you interested, what to leave comments, and kind of how you came to be doing such good guest posts for Powered Gold?
Yeah, sure. So my background and my professional line of work is sort of a hybrid of design and research, which if you've followed any of the work that I've done over at Disenchanting Azeroth on the blog, it will kind of click and make sense. Like, oh, that's why he was doing all that crazy visual analysis that he was doing. So my line of work, I have to look at a lot of different products that different companies are designing from a visual design standpoint, from a brand standpoint, and then all that stuff. I won't bore you too much with all that, but what it boils down to is I kind of have a...
But I mean, I'll let you continue.
What it boils down to is I kind of have a bit of a trained eye for that sort of thing, and being able to differentiate things. So like if you and I walked into Target or Best Buy right now, I could start to group a lot of different products on a single shelf and show you how all of them kind of look the same. Like if we walked into an aisle where there's a ton of coffee makers, I could point out that 80% of them on the shelf are pretty much all the same form. They're all the same form language, and therefore everything feels kind of blah. But this one on the end that's by, say, KitchenAid or something like that, one of the more high-end brands, I could actually point out why that particular coffee maker is really intriguing from a form standpoint, and why it's really standing out and what makes it visually unique. There's kind of a whole visual science behind it. So I'm trying to think what it was. There was some kind of an initial tease to transmogrification. They didn't actually release what it was. I think they might have just said transmogrification, or they alluded to it. And I was listening to the Instance podcast, and someone on there said, you know what I think this is? I think this is going to be a feature where people can take old gear that they've got and they can somehow configure it to make it their look for their current equipment, and that was the hunch that they had on the show. And I thought about it, and I thought, that makes perfect logical sense. That makes perfect sense. I bet that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
So I got really psyched about it.
This is a topic I've been very interested in for a long time. Having worked as an MMO game designer, it's one of the things that you have to lay out how you're going to allow people to visually change things. Other games have done this better, I think. Well, have done it, which essentially in EverQuest 2 had an appearance tab, which is pretty much essentially the same thing, where you had one set of gear that showed what you looked like, and the other set of gear was your stats. So I think some people had been clamoring for it for a long time. And so.
Oh, it makes so much sense. And I think there were so many people that were excited about it when the news finally went live. And like I said, I think so many people, like myself, I mean, I played a priest for years since vanilla, and I was so bummed because I just deleted so much older stuff. But when I heard that they were going to be doing it, I immediately went to my bank and went to the auction house and started looking around to see what was there. But I wasn't thinking about it from a gold making standpoint. I was just thinking about, you know, what do I want? Because that's going to be really cool. What would I want to transmogrify if that's what this is going to be? So I just started buying stuff up. So I picked up a couple of Tibu's Blazing Longswords that were just stagnating on a couple of auction houses for, you know, maybe like 1-2,000 gold. Just really odds and ends stuff. Blades of Wizardry for like 300 gold, 250 gold. The Aegis of Stormwind. Random stuff that I thought would be kind of fun to have for my characters. And I was following Cold's Gold Factory at the time. I was following his mysterious fortune card thing, and I was making just gangbusters worth of gold doing that. And again, it was more about the challenge. It wasn't really about like making the gold, because once I got the gold, I just either gave it away or I blew it on big things. And that was kind of interesting. And I noticed on one of the posts that he did, that he said, you know, Transmog is coming out. This is what it is. It's been announced. I don't think there's anything here. And I remember I posted on his blog, and I said, you know, I think you're wrong. I really think there's something here, because if you think about personalization is a big theme that we deal with in my line of professional work. You know, if we're working with Nike, if we're working with Black & Decker, if we're working with, any of these big brands, personalization is key, and it's huge for consumers. And so much of what we do in the game, you can kind of wrap the same sort of model around what we do in real life. So the whole concept of dress up in RP, you call it whatever you want, it's personalization and it's customization. And I said, you know, there's a lot of smoke there, but there's some fire, and I don't really have my head wrapped around it yet, just yet, but let me go think about this, and I'm going to kind of figure it out. And the sense that I got from the folks over in that community was like, yeah, whatever. We're not interested. You're not going to make any gold. You know, that's not worth the time. And I was like, oh, that's fine. Well, I'll go elsewhere. And I'd heard about your work, and either from another podcast or I forget where I heard it from. But anyway, I was like, well, I'm going to go check out this guy Flux over at Power Word Gold. And I saw your post about one of your initial posts about transmogrification, and you were kind of hypothesizing about it as well. And you were like, you know, I think there's something here. I wonder what sort of items would become valuable for this sort of thing. And you sort of posed the question to the community. I think a couple of people initially replied with, and when I looked at it, I sort of saw the replies as like, you know, hoo-ha, hoo-ha, hey, this is what I think. And I was like, oh, you guys are all wrong. And I totally jumped in, and I like dropped like five paragraphs on you, and I hit submit, and it wasn't showing up on your blog. And I was like, that's really strange. So then I emailed you, and I'm like, hey,
oh,
this
yeah,
guy
that's
Flux.
Right. That's right.
You know, this post isn't showing up, and you emailed me back, and you were like, yeah, dude, you've got like five or six paragraphs, and there's a limit on what you can actually post in the comments. So you were like, let me take it. I'll cut it out, and I'll sort of add it in as multiple comments on the bottom of this post.
That's right. That's right.
And for everyone that has read any articles on Disenchanting Azeroth, they're all moaning right now going, oh my god, yeah, this guy won't stop talking.
I love it.
So that's when you and I kind of got connected, and you know, you kind of posed the question to me that, well, if there is a bit of a science to this, how would you go about doing it? And that's when I was like, wow, that's a really good question. You know, how would you go about doing it from a gold making perspective? Could you look at bind on equip items and determine from a visual design standpoint what could legitimately be popular? And that's when I did the very first visual positioning chart, where we said, okay, how do you break these things down from a visual standpoint? I think we chose shields. Mm-hmm. And I went through Wowhead and went item by item by item, all the BOEs, grabbed screenshots of them, and used a methodology that we call a visual positioning chart. And what you do in this chart is you are sort of assessing form and shape in terms of how rectilinear is it, how organic is it, how, you know, fluid is it, how angular is it, and then how expressive is the form versus how, like, how quiet the form is. And that's sort of the way it works out. And if you've had a chance, if anyone's had a chance to see the post that went up on Power Word Gold or over at Disenchanting Azeroth, and you're kind of familiar with the methodology. But that was the first swag at sort of laying it out that, okay, here's all the shields in the game. Here's every model that's a bind on equip shield based on anything that somebody could find on the auction house. Is there anything that stands out? And we found that there was. There was like, you know, three or five shields in particular that were so visually unique. I mean, they just leapt off the page. And one of them was the Skullflame shield, which we know now on Realms is going for, I mean, geez, I don't think I've seen it for less than 10,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But don't tell anybody, there's a secret.
I know. Well, if you follow Disenchanting Azeroth, you'll know the secret.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really the first kind of foray into breaking down what I think for a number of people in the gold making community was a very ambiguous thing that was on the way with transmogrification. And I think it made it very tangible. It made it very easy to understand for people to look at something on the page and just go, oh, for shields, these are the three things that I probably want to focus on. Whereas the rest of transmogrification, I think, was just perceived as this, well, I don't get it. It's too big. I don't understand it. Therefore, there probably isn't any gold to be made.
Or just like I was planning to do, just muddle through by yourself and hope that you can find some cool items on the auction house.
No. Listen to Sensei. I will show you the way. So, let's see. What did we do after that? So we did like two-handed axes and I don't know. I think we did a few different things, but people really started to get excited about not only the charts, but also I think the potential for certain items in particular. So this was taking place in like August. This is a while ago. Mm-hmm. So we were talking back in August about how things like the Singing Crystal Axe and the Ethereum Nexus Reaver were probably going to be huge. They were going to be big items. We were calling it out back then. And then I think it was something along the lines of, you know, people were interested in enough in the visual analysis that was being done, because I think it also showed them all of these different models that they can get. So suddenly, if you were somebody that was going to be equipping a shield and you knew transmogrification was coming, mm-hmm. well, every model that was a bind on equip item was suddenly in front of you, and you could just pick from what you wanted. And people were like, well, can you do this for BOP items as well, stuff that would be soulbound? And the more I looked at it, I was like, huh, there might be a blog here. And you were like, yeah, you should go do that. And so thus Disenchanting Azeroth was born right at the end of August. So I opened up with the first article was on shields, and I poured through the entire shield database on Wowhead. Every single item that was listed in game, determined which were the unique models, both BOP and BOE, and just did a massive, first thing was really kind of a spreadsheet to show you what all the models were, what expansions they were released in, so mm-hmm. you could see the progression of when new models were created from expansion to expansion. And then yeah. and the other most critical thing was it told you how unique the model was in terms of how many times it had been recycled mm-hmm. in the game. And we know a lot of models that are being out there that are being used, they've been reskinned, you know, upwards mm-hmm. of 30 times. I'm sure if you're into gold making on the transmogrification side, you have looked through the shield section and looked for uncommon shields that are sitting around like 3 and 10 gold. And you've probably clicked on those and seen those little burnished round ones. Well, those things have been reskinned like 50 times.
I like the one with the little, like, it's got a little head. It almost looks like
it's
a head
got
with
the
two
skull,
eyes.
Yeah. It's really bad. That little skull has been reskinned, the skull alone, on like 12 shields. So people see things like the Black Skull shield. And is that on your server?
Was
it your server that I saw it on?
I don't know, maybe.
Somebody's server that I was on just recently had a Black Skull shield, and they were selling it for like 5,000 gold, and I was just like, you know, that's just uneducated selling at that point. Yeah, and I see a lot of that.
That face reminds me of Odd from Odd World's totally. Odyssey. So.
Yeah, you got to be an Odd buyer to go for that one, to be honest. So, yeah, so that's kind of where it went, and it really kind of the blog really kind of took off. I think it was like we hit 100,000 site views in a really mm-hmm. short amount of time. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a month or something like that. So it was just really popular.
And you became popular on the Reddits.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yeah, the Reddit community was like they were gangbusters for it. And I didn't even know that Reddit existed. This also explains a lot about me as a player. I'm in and out. I kind of come and go, and mm-hmm. and all of a sudden one day I had a surge of like, you know, something like 5,000 hits on one article. It was the Staves article when I released every staff model in game, mm-hmm. and I'm like, where is this coming from? And you sent me an email and you're like, hey, just thought I should let you know I posted one of your articles to Reddit. And I was like, what's Reddit? And I went and looked, and that's where all the links were coming from. It was all coming from that link that you posted on Reddit. And all these people on Reddit were like, oh my God, what is this website? Yeah. This is amazing.
Reddit loves great things, and D.E. Azeroth is definitely great.
Yeah, they went all gaga over it. It was really funny. So it was neat. It was a neat experiment. We do those visual positioning charts all the time for, mm-hmm. for products around us daily. So it was neat to take that approach and that methodology and apply it to the game, because I think it made a lot of sense. And then as we were putting those out, I was trying to give you, you know, heads up along the way. We did one-handed swords, and then we did mm-hmm. two-handed swords. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm starting to see some of these things popping up as BOEs. You might want to make note on some of these things. And I know we did a couple of posts over on your site.
We did one-handed swords and one-handed maces.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then what else we did? A little one about staves, but also talking about the how the market was going to play out.
Yeah, and that's probably a good transition, actually. Just talking about the market and how it kind of played out, because I was looking at it and it was like, okay, we're showing everyone what they can wear and what they can equip in terms of weapons and shields. And so how is this going to roll out? And the more I looked at it, I was like, you know what? This is going to be so typical of an adoption curve that we see just in the consumer world on a regular basis, where you're going to have your innovators first. It's going to be a really niche community of people that are going to be so knowledgeable about it, and they're going to be the first ones to dive on it. They're going to be really early. And then you're going to have sort of your early adopters, which will be the next stage of people that they're not the first ones to hear about it. They're not the mavens, but they are kind of the second rank. And then from there, you hit the early majority of adopters, where people are just swarming to the shelves to pick something up. And so we kind of put that theory forward, and I did that little graphic and send it over to you, and we kind of put it out there on Power Word Gold just to say, hey, if you're if you're in the gold making community and you're going to look at transmogrification, you probably need to think about your customers in terms of this adoption curve and understand that your buyers are going to be really random at first. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them are going to pay exorbitant prices. Some of them are going to pay nothing. And there's probably not going to be any real way to figure out any patterns from that with the innovators. And I think the innovators were the people that were buying their equipment and gear before 4.3 mm-hmm. was released.
Yeah.
But then it hinted at those early adopters, though, are probably going to be the people that will go and do it and start buying on patch day. And I think that's what we saw. You know, on patch day, we saw an initial surge. It was a little quiet at first, but then there was a surge within the first 36 hours mm-hmm. of just a lot of stuff flying off the auction house. And, you know, if you look at that curve now, I think in retrospect, I think we are either in the early majority on the high population servers or starting to move into it,
mm-hmm.
which is really intriguing. It's just neat to see. It's neat to see something like this make its way into the game, because as much as a lot of people think it's maybe a feature or just kind of a neat thing, or maybe it's not your thing and you're not into it, this is big. Personalization is huge, and this is going to be it's probably not going to play out this way over time, where you have an ethereal guy and you got to walk up to him and he's going to change your gear from this into that. It's probably going to evolve into something different over time, but the baseline will always be personalization mm-hmm. and customization. That is here to stay.
Yeah, one of the things you said in one of your articles or one of your guest posts was that this is going to change the way that you play the game on a fundamental level. And even I saw that since I was thinking about this while we were talking so early, as I played through my characters later on after thinking over this, it became every single item. This is what you said. Every single item you get now, or every single time you turn in a quest now, you'll be thinking, how does this look? An example for me is like there's a shield that you get from Thousand Needles on that steamboat that looks like a battered old door for like a boat. It's like That's a right. bunch of different scrap metal hammered together in the shape of like a door. And to me, I saw that, and actually all through my warrior's quests, the lower level quest items actually have some really good visual looks to them. Blizzard went back and redid a lot of the starter gears to give you actual sets. So for me, every item now became a possible linchpin key piece to you know, transmogrification. And so my bank filled up with all stuff that normally I would just, you know, vendor. Because before transmogrification, old gear was either sentimental value or maybe you liked to wear it around the city, but it didn't have any other value besides that. So it, for me at least, it's changed kind of how I get every check, every quest, reward. And even if this shoulders might be for a male intellect shoulder, but I might be a hunter, like if it looks really cool, I might still accept it as the quest reward because, you know, I want to keep it to do the look.
Yeah, and I looked at that at the time, and I actually looked at it from a customer from a customer experience standpoint as the gamer, that it actually set you up to be really confused and left in the dark in those moments. Because let's say you're, you know, it's transmogrification's released, now you're leveling a character, you come across this shield, you come across these shoulders, you have to choose now. You know, you're in this moment, which thing are you going to choose? And you have no way of knowing by mousing over the tooltips how unique that thing is, how rare it is. Is it one of a kind? Is it something that's been skinned 50 times? Is it the only one that's actually blue? There's no way to tell. So you're really kind of left in the dark. And that's when it was like, oh my gosh, this is a really big deal. Because if you look at some of the quest items that are out there, I mean, you look at one from Stranglethorn Vale, or maybe it's Booty Bay, where you get, I don't even know how to say it, but it's Revelgaz's cutlass.
Mm-hmm.
It's that little
Yeah, I did that on a Rogue recently. So yeah,
Pirate Sword.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it's great. Great, you know, released in Cataclysm. Well, awesome. You can only get it in one place, and it's just that quest that's down in Booty Bay. There's a couple of other items from like the Ring of Blood, Amphitheater of Anguish, quests as well. Well, some of the items that drop there is the only place you can get them. So if you don't, you know, if you don't get it then, that's it. You're toast. You can't get it any other time. So, yeah, we put that that knight from, you know, the third Indiana Jones movie, like, you must choose, but choose wisely. and I think it really kind of struck a chord with a lot of people, like, damn, that's right. I mean, look at the tickets that this could potentially start off. I know the Exodar life staff is something that's a really big deal right now on the auction house. Well, that's because a lot of us who have been around since the Burning Crusade, if we did the Cipher of Damnation quest, which I think that's the quest line, and you picked up the one equivalent model in the entire game to the Exodar life staff, well, you probably sold it off by now. So now the only way for you to get that model is to either go and farm who is it? Is it Doomlord Kazakh, I think that drops from, or you have to wait for, you know, somebody like me, mm-hmm. to you know, post it on the auction house and sell it at an exorbitant price.
And that's the thing about, speaking of price, that's the thing I noticed that is really interesting about the price for transmogrification items, is that people only have to buy it once and they'll have it for the rest of their character's career. If it's a linchpin item to their look, they only need to buy it once. Therefore, I think in a lot of cases, they're more willing to spend more on it because they know that they only have to buy it once, and then they can just reuse it over and over again.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of fire to that. In that, I wouldn't be surprised a couple expansions down the road here, or maybe even at some stage in the next expansion, they end up announcing that equipment that you gather on your own characters is now bind on account. So if you've got three different plate wearers, you can now move that plate among all of those plate wearers. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see something like that.
That would be really nice.
Yeah, I think it would be really cool. I think it would. Blizzard's gonna, I mean, they're just
doing it with pets, range. So it should be interesting to see what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
With items as well, because there is a few archaeology items that you can send to all your characters. There's like a helm of the fifth shaman or something along those lines. That's a male headpiece that looks like a wolf. There's a really cool looking one-handed mace, and of course the two-handed sword. So there is items in the game already that if you make them on your archaeologist, you can send them to your other characters.
Yeah, so there's precedence then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you wait. You heard it here first. That's what they're going to do.
maybe
it's going to become buying an account, all cloth, all mail.
They'll add a fourth ethereal that converts items into bind on account for next. He'll do some sort of focus on it to make it. All right. So now before we take a break here, did you want to talk a little bit about what you did to prepare for patch 4.3?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really pretty simple. In that work got so busy, and then we had a baby boy. So we had a healthy baby boy, and suddenly my whole life was just completely compromised in terms of time. So those articles on Disenchanted Nazaroth, I mean, if y'all have read through those things, it's a really painstaking process to put those things together. And at first, I mean, I think I told you, I was like, yeah, it only takes me like a day. It would take me like 3 days to build those things and put them together. And I just couldn't find the time to do it. But what I was finding a lot of time to do was, you know, I had my son on my shoulder trying to put him down. You know, he's crying. Okay, try to put him down. Okay, he's got to go to sleep. All right, try to put him down. I mean, you're just constantly holding a child in one hand and you've got your other hand free. Well, I had my iPhone and I was just kind of browsing around. And I had gotten connected with, they've changed their website now. What's it now? WoW Roleplay Gear.com. through some of the work that I was doing on Disenchanting Azeroth, they had an existing RP site. I like to think of WoWRoleplayGear.com a little bit like Dell. They had the right content at the right place at the right time. sort of like Dell was like had this model that they could build whatever you wanted to, and then the internet hit. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly everybody thought Dell was like the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think it was the same thing with WoWRoleplayGear.com to a degree, where they already had a ton of content ready to go in terms of guides for transmogrification. They just didn't label it transmogrification. It was it was based on RP, but people were able to go and see all these fabulous gear sets that they were touting as various styles for RPing. Well, it was, again, the root of RP is personalization and customization. That totally translated over to transmogrification. Their site exploded. And they've done an exceptional job over there. So I was kind of browsing through their stuff. So I was aware of a lot of the items, and since I had time on my hands, I was like, well, maybe I'll start picking out some of the items that I think are pretty cool, and maybe get them for some of my characters. And if I ever have time again, maybe I'll log in and run around in some of that stuff. And I was looking at sets like the Hyperion set, and not really a lot of the skimpy sets that a lot of people kind of popularize, like the Glorious and the Lofty and stuff
like
that.
Speaking of skimpy sets, I just have to say, if you have a female Blood Elf tanking your dungeon in one of those plate sets, like, I was like staring at this stupid Blood Elf taking screenshots. I wasn't even guessing the boss. I was like, holy moly, this looks fantastic. Gee, mini Christmas, so.
Yeah, it looks really good. I mean, there's going to be plenty of people that will say, that will talk about the skimpy aspect of it and, you know, the stuff that it reveals. But the reality of it is, when you look at a lot of that equipment from Vanilla and some of it from the Burning Crusade, when you look at it from a visual design standpoint, I could take a screenshot with some of that gear and do it in a certain place within Azeroth and have you look at it, and you would mistake it for Ion. I mean, that's how beautiful some of this this gear is.
There was a robe that I think I tweeted to you that was from Anchorage, the cloth robe that's got like the aquamarine with like the jewels in the front of it and everything, that looks really didn't look good on my hunter, on my shaman, but it looked great. I put it on when I looked it up on WoWhead. So yeah, there's some great items.
There's some really fabulous stuff from Old World, and the part of the reason why it's so good is it's very simple. The designs are very well thought out. It's not to say that the latest stuff isn't thought out well. It is. It's just extremely complicated, complex and detailed. And you have to be very close to it to be able to appreciate a lot of that detail. Whereas the Old World stuff, you stand out and you have a unique look to you from across the city. Mm-hmm. So you're running out of the auction house and you see somebody over at the bank. If they're wearing gear from level 80 and above, or I should say level 70 and above, it's kind of hard to make out sometimes unless they're wearing tier gear. It's kind of hard to make out what exactly are they wearing. But if you see something that's generally level 70 and under, and it's from like the green series, they generally stand out, and and they're very iconic. There's a lot of really good stuff there. And I was like, hey, I want some of that stuff. So I started buying it up, and I was just sitting there on my mobile army. I pay the subscription for it, and I was on. I mean, everybody knows what realms I'm on now. So I was on Proudmoore. I was on Earthen Ring. I was on Moonguard. Another one. I forget what it was. But anyway, I just started buying it up because I was buying it for myself. And as I was buying it for myself, I started to see second and third items, like, you know, another set of Hyperion legs. And I thought, man, I just paid, you know, 15 gold for that. I would have paid 5,000 gold for that. I mean, that's how bad I really wanted it. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of hit me like, oh my God, it takes one to know one. This is one of those things that I'm going to be a maven for in terms of gold making, because I'm one of these people. I know what these people are going to pay because I'm one of them. And then it was like, oh my God, there's a massive opportunity here. So it became keel hauls, you know, morning, afternoon, night, anytime I had free time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was paused at a really long red light, I mean, I'd pull the phone out, right? And I'd be like, I wonder if anybody's posting anything. You know, long afternoon break around lunch, you know, sandwich in one hand, iPhone in the other hand, putting the baby down at night. It became a hobby, and it was fun. It was neat. It was like its own little mini game, you know, trying to find these things. It was like iPhone fishing. Only I wasn't doing the releasing. I was doing all the catching. I was putting them into my igloo cooler, waiting for 4.3. So started picking up a ton of stuff. Picked it up on a number of different servers, and just for the heck of it, I started flipping a few pieces and. It wasn't really flipping very well on Earthen Ring. I was on Horde. Nobody was really buying anything. Proudmoore, though, on Alliance side, they were buying it. And not only were they buying it, the Hyperion pieces, they were buying it at 500 gold pop. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, it started just to confirm that, all right, there's something here. Something's going to happen. But the only way for me to do it, because I couldn't get into game and farm the stuff myself, at least not regularly enough, the only way to get it to where I wanted to sell it was to find it elsewhere, and that's where I found on Moonguard. There was tons of it. It was an RP server. It's a very high population. Tons of the stuff was sitting on there. Lofty, Glorious, Vanguard, Hyperion, some Exalted pieces, and they were all sitting there for like 50 gold. So I was just like, screw it. I grabbed one of my tunes, grabbed like 25,000 gold, transferred them over to Moonguard, and that's how I initially ended up there, because I sent a bank tune over just to take a look. Saw all this stuff. I bought all of it. I bought a ton of it, and probably spent, geez, nothing. I mean, maybe 3,000, maybe 4,000 gold, if that, maybe 5. But came away with axes and staves and, I mean, all the stuff that you hear me talking about now. All of those things. I came over with not really. I brought the unique things, like a lot of the chest pieces, a lot of the legs, a lot of the really unique shields and weapons that I knew would be more difficult to find, or I was having a really hard time finding them on Earthen Ring and on Proudmoore. So collected it all up on Moonguard, and then about 3 weeks before the patch released, I transferred the tune over to Proudmoore and was kind of ready. I opened up a guild, called it Aesthetics. And of course, nobody noticed me because I was hardly ever even online. Bought out every single bank tab that was in the guild bank, filled every single bank tab, filled the bank, had to open another guild, filled just a couple of tabs in that. But at any rate, I had a massive inventory of, you know, alabaster plate and imperial red cloth and ranger set leather. And I mean, just hundreds and hundreds of items. I probably started 4.3 with something over like 700 items.
Oh my gosh. Now there was a little confusion about the ranger set when I put your post together. What ranger set? Because I linked two of them and there's actually two different ranger sets, at least it looked like in the game.
So the ranger sets, both of them are actually pretty good. The, what is it? Like one's green and one is
One looks brown. Like Indiana Jones hat, and the other one has green with like brown kind of leather straps.
This is also kind of the flip side of the Wowhead stuff. Like when you look at the Wowhead previews, they show you the entire set, which includes the helm, and the helms don't always sell. And I do think it's because a lot of people are going with the helms turned off. They're not using them. They're just leaving their head, you know, out. I know it's what I do on a lot of my characters. I've seen a lot of other characters doing that. So the ranger stuff, you know, like the Indiana Jones hat, I think it'll appeal to some people, but really the appeal of the ranger set, I think, is in particular, is I think to druids, who traditionally a lot of their gear, especially the tier stuff, is just so loaded with you know, frills and details and things like that. The ranger set's actually nice and simple. It's not too much rogue. It's definitely not very druid. Nice, simple appeal, nice forms. Doesn't have a lot of detailing on it. So I think it's just a nice change. At least that's my theory behind it. That was one of the ones that I was targeting for my druid, because like all the tier sets, every time I looked at, you know, T5 and T6 and T7 and T8, it was just like, oh god, oh man, like every time you toggled over to the next tier set to see what the options druid, it was like, god, I don't like any of this stuff. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm all about the druid aesthetic. I mean, I have like 3 or 4 posts on it over at Disenchanting Azeroth where I just ooze over the druid aesthetic, but for some reason those tier sets, I'm just not into them at all. And I ran Black Temple at some point and got the Cursed Vision of Sardras. You know, the little black headband that goes over the eyes, and it was like, oh, that's it. You know, everyone's going to build their character around, you know, maybe a weapon or a shield or maybe the gear. I'm going to build it around this little headband for my druid. But it's such a simple black line that I needed very simple, quiet clothing to kind of go with that. So that's why the appeal of the Ranger set first hit me. And the minute I started collecting it and I started flipping it, it was selling like crazy, and a lot of it was going to druids.
Awesome. Well, we are gonna go ahead and take a break here. We've brought you up to the 4.3, and then we're gonna take a break and come back and talk about after the 4.3 Mogpocalypse, what happened. So
I'm gonna go find my lungs.
We will be back in just a second. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Powered Gold Podcast, episode 24. I'm your host, Flux, along with our co-host, Keel Hall.
Yo!
And we are going to be talking about transmogrification after 4.3. We've had quite a tale, quite a bit of craziness as far as getting ready for 4.3, at least on your side. I'm just going to kind of quickly go over... When we started posting articles, I started picking up items. So I had about 6 Crystal Forge War Axes. I had about 5 Aegeus of Stormwinds, which actually picked up quite easily on the Horde side because nobody cared about them. Fel Iron Shields I picked up to go the opposite direction to sell those on the Horde side. And Singing Crystal Axes. And I picked all these up for under a couple hundred gold each or even less. So I didn't have as much as you, but I definitely had probably 30 or 40 items set aside, ready to go. So then 4.3 hits. I'm just going to let you take it away, Keel.
It's worth stepping back a brief, like, 2 or 3 weeks before 4.3 hit, when I sent you that post, when I was like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm stockpiling all this stuff, and here's what I'm doing. And you were like, yeah, write it up. And I was like, oh, I don't have any time to do that. You know how busy I am. And you were like, no, it could be really interesting. People might want to read it. So I put that massive post together, and
Confessions of a Mogging Fiend.
Yeah, Confessions of a Mogging Fiend.
When you load this page, your scroll bar on the side will get very small.
So much credit needs to go to you as well on that one, because I just sent you this. I just totally critted your email, and the grammar was bad. There was no headings. It was
for 9,000, over 9,000.
It was just a massive text dump, and fortunately, you had the patience to, you know, format it into paragraphs and try to make a little bit of a story to it. But anyway, it just kind of hit me that I was like, you know what? If I'm right, it would behoove me to get this word out before 4.3 hits, so it looks like I knew what I was doing.
Like mailing yourself something with this, mailing yourself exactly. a sealed envelope with it.
I'm like, I'm going to look a hell of a lot smarter if I get this word out now, 3 weeks before, you know, or two weeks before the patch, mm-hmm. and then it goes through, and then if it does go big, I'm actually going to look kind of smart. And then I thought, and if it doesn't go anywhere, then that's fine. I'm just going to look like this idiot that keeps showing up on Power Word Gold talking about, you know, gear and weapons and stuff, and people are going to be like, why does Flux keep posting this guy's stuff, man? It doesn't make any sense.
This Power Word Kielha.
Yeah, Power Word Kielha. What the hell? So anyway, yeah, so that brings us kind of full circle. You know, got the word out that this is what I've been doing, and at this point I'd been accumulating on three different realms and had stockpiled most of it onto Proudmoore, but I still left a significant amount on Earthen Ring and on Moonguard just for giggles, really, to see if maybe I could make a little bit of gold on those realms. But the focus was Proudmoore on Alliance side. So night before patch, I posted everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything that I had, and posted it for 48 hours. And I mean, I was making up the prices, right? So I was just like, okay, well, how do I want to set this market? And it was like, well, I think the glorious and the lofty stuff and the Vanguard stuff that's kind of this level to 50 to 60, really hard to find, only drops from AQ20 and AQ40. Nobody ever goes there. It's really rare. So I found myself structuring my prices based on how hard it was for me to find those items to begin mm-hmm. with. And it kind of went from there. So if you had, you know, any of those, what I considered tier one items, you know, glorious, lofty, that stuff, it was, I think, like 2 to 4,000 gold to start. Hyperion stuff was sort of tier two, imbued plate. And again, I had tons of plate, way more plate than any of the other styles of gear.
I was putting your posts together, and I was like, well, he's got 29 plate sets listed, and then he's got, well, let's see, like 12 males and six cloth.
Six cloth and like two leather. I was like,
just Ranger. This one.
Yeah, and really what that was a reflection of me saying, I know what I want to do for my warrior and for my paladin, and I know what I want to do for, you know, the shaman and the hunter, mm-hmm. and I know what I want to do. And it was also based on looking at what was on WoW Roleplay mm-hmm. Gear's site, and honestly, I was looking at everything, and I was looking at the leather stuff, and I'm like, I'm sorry, it's a mess. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff that's on there doesn't really stand out.
Mm-hmm.
The cloth stuff, it was kind of the same thing. It was like, yeah, there's some really nice stuff, but the shoulders are just bad. Most of the shoulders on all the cloth gear is just really not very good. But the plate and the mail, and the plate in particular, phenomenal stuff. I mean, really specifically designed to be unique looking mm-hmm. stuff. And so that's where I sort of focused my efforts and structured my prices according to how difficult it was to find that stuff. And
well, one of the things about mail and leather, I think that I had an issue, because around the same time I started Warcraft Lux, kind of to get a place for me to be able to write about aesthetics of World of Warcraft as well. And when I was going through and doing articles for like leather and mail, I started to notice that leather and mail kind of had issue, because there was certain sections of it where it was like plate light. It's like up to 40, your mail sets a lot of times are, because they can only be used by plate wearers, are more plate looking. And your leather can have a little bit of male lookingness to it, because, you know, hunters, and there's a lot of weird stuff going on. There's some male sets that look completely like plate, with just some chainmail underneath it. And so I noticed that there's some funkiness that you maybe don't run into with plate, because plate is only 40 and above, and it's plate is plate, basically, from from the beginning.
Yeah, but there really are. I mean, even on the male side though, there's there's really some beautiful sets in there. What was the one that I posted the other day? It's like 2 days ago, I think. Oh, the Lord.
Yeah, the ones I picked when I ended up doing my post were the Veteran, the Hulking, the Knights, Griffin Mail, and Tal Hyde. Those are the kind of the five I chose. Just because at the time I did the article, I was like, hey, these kind of look the coolest. The Tal Hyde is one of the most interesting sets, and if any of you guys are interested, are male wearers wanting to look for something that looks more leather, the Tal Hyde, and it's also called Razor Shell, look exact. They're just, they look like pure leather. You talk about like the Rangers that looking simple, they look really, really awesome. So anyways, sorry, slight diversion. So
no, it's, I mean, it's that's what it comes down to. Yeah. Spot on.
Speaking about leather, actually, I wanted to talk just briefly about a little of the research I did on uncommon leather sets. There's a few of them that I picked out, since you didn't really mention these in your kind of list. There's a good chance that they might not sell, but there's some really interesting ones. The ceremonial leather is very cool looking. It's kind of like a leather bikini with like leather strap top with kind of teeth and like stuff hanging out like a necklace. Bards, which is kind of like a red suspenders and pants.
Yeah, I've seen the Bard. I've actually started to pick up the Bard.
Yeah, those ones are cool. My goblin has that for her transmog on her rogue because she looks like a shopkeeper, or she looks like a mechanic basically. There's a blue set called the cleft hoof, and there's a black one called Bandit, so just keep that in mind for that suspender style. Scouting, which looks like a ninja kind of, it's black with just black with like little seams and stuff. Bristle bark, which looks a lot like you're wearing fur, like all kinds of different colors of brown, and or it's like rough leather. I actually wish I could transmog this on my hunter, but I can't. And then the bone chewer, which is kind of a little bit of a unique set because it's a blood elf style set. Yeah,
I like the bone chewer.
So anyways, all right, so we've gone back a little bit and talked about what you were doing before 4.3 and the plate sets. Now let's get into what actually happened with 4.3. Mogopolypse. Mogmas, if you want to go there.
We'll see. So patch day. Everything's
Happy
up.
Happy patch day.
On three different servers, but primarily, you know, like 95% of it's on Proudmoore. And at this point, I think I'd kind of rolled into the Twitter community a little bit. Was chatting with people and tweeting with people a little bit. And, you know, word had kind of gotten out a little bit that, you know, there was this guy that was for some reason had collected all of this gear, and a few people had read the post over on your site and were kind of curious to see, you know, is anything actually going to come of this. And most of the people that were following me on Twitter were from Disenchanting Azeroth. Not many of them were actually gold makers. So a lot of the folks that were just really into transmog were suddenly seeing me sing a very different tune. I'd gone from talking about, you know, well, use this item because it's very unique, to, well, I think I'm going to price these robes at 500 to start because I think it just feels right. And so 4.3 hits, and there's a little bit of bated breath on my Twitter, and nothing happens. It's like this big buildup, and then
I was paying attention. I was watching.
There was nothing. Like nothing was selling, nothing was moving, and And I was like, well, so much for that big idea. And then it was probably about 4 hours after the patch hit. It was rolling into the evening. And then this little trickle started to occur on Proudmoore. And I started seeing things on my iPhone start coming in. And it was like, you know, 4 items sold. And then it was 10. And then it was 20. And then it was 30. And then it was, you know, 45, 50. And then it was just the windfall. Like, the windfall hit. And so much stuff was flying off of the auction house. And it just blew my mind. And of course, I went berserk on Twitter. Just blew up my own Twitter. Was posting, like, what was it? Like, every 15 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my God. Tebu's Blazing Longsword just sold for 30,000 gold. And this Ethereum Nexus Reaver Axe just sold for 15,000 gold. And this Exodar Lifestaff just sold for 13,000 gold.
It literally took everybody, I think maybe besides me and you, by surprise. They're like, what the?
Yeah.
And all of us are like, you know, it's not really the kind of thing where you can just be like, hurry up and get prepared by that point. You know, anybody had listened
the station. Yeah, train had left the station.
At least for that initial push, it was pretty amazing. So
you saw, you know, and at this point, I had the market. I mean, there was no inventory. There's no way to, you know, people immediately started scrambling to craft items, but I hadn't invested really any money into any crafted items. The only crafted item somebody reminded me about on Twitter that I actually did grab to flip was what was it? Black Dragon Scale, I think. It was a male set that was an old school hunter set for a bit of nostalgia.
Exalted set.
For the most part, man, it just absolutely blew up, and so many questions started coming in, like, what are you selling, and where did you get this from, and how did you know how to do this, and who are you? And
cue the Godfather music.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's so funny because, you know, so this went on for about a week, and before you knew it, it was like 200,000 gold just on one server alone. And that's when I mentioned on Twitter that people had started to recognize my banker as the one who has everything, the one who has all of the gear. You know, people, in a way, I think players kind of recognize some of these sets I think they have an appeal for them in a similar way that they have an appeal for certain tier gear. So in a way, you're kind of selling tier looks to a degree. So people would be messaging my banker saying, do you have these gloves from this set? Do you have this belt from this set? Do you have this? Do you have that? And that's when you saw that post, you were like, seriously, dude, you're the Mog Father. Do you realize that? And all of a sudden, boom, it just stuck. Everyone's like, Mog Father, Mog Father, Mog Father. And then the next thing you know, people were sending me, after about the first week of just completely dominating the market, people were sending me greens, bundles of greens in the mail. And I'd get these random mails from people, and there would be like 5 or 6 greens. And without even really thinking about the significance of it, I would just kind of pick through them and be like, no, none of this is good. And I would just return all of it back to people. And I tweeted about that. And like a ton of people retweeted that one tweet. Like apparently they thought it was hysterical. I'm watching the market at the same time, you know, it could sort of hit me that, okay, I'm on the wave of a trend. It looks like I was the only one who really kind of prepared for it. So I started to watch what other people were doing, and people were grabbing random greens and throwing them up for 3,000 gold, but they weren't good. Like they weren't well thought out. They were, you know, not placed very well. So they didn't sell. They just stagnated on the auction house, and they're either still there or, you know, maybe somebody foolish got them, but they stuck around for a long time. So clearly it wasn't just reposting all these random greens. There was a lot of thought to it because only my items were being bought.
Yeah, Nev and I were chatting at one point, and she said somebody on her server had pretty much done that, where they had pretty much took all the greens and just blanket reposted them all for $199 or, you know, gold. Yeah.
And I still see that, you know, now that I'm getting out on, mm-hmm. on so many of these other servers and I'm having an opportunity to look around a little bit, yeah. I'm seeing a lot of that. It's just...
Well, there is situations where I have picked up items that are just the right fit for what I'm looking for. Like, I want a brown belt with the silver buckle. You know, like, at that point, I might not worry about spending a couple hundred gold on it, but as a strategy in general, unless you're getting these for dirt cheap and you're willing to flip through a bunch, it's causing a little bit of... Well, they made a lot better leveling gear, but I would imagine if I was low level, I wouldn't be happy. I guess it's similar to glyphs, when you go to the get glyphs and you see them at 200.
It's just not... I just don't think it's a very sustainable model to just grab anything and everything. And I think, similar to fashion, you have to have a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have the stuff that is out of your price range, is really desirable for, you know, whatever the reasons are, you know, for looks, for uniqueness, for color, all of those things apply. But I do think you need to have a little bit of that structure there. And but I still tell people, if you see something that looks interesting and it's just a couple of gold, grab it and just try it, because you never know. But don't just grab everything and flip it, because there is a sensibility to this, and there is a logical way to do it, and that's what's, you know, kind of proving itself out now on some of these other areas. But so it's been a few weeks since patch, and I know on Proudmoore alone, I eclipsed 400,000 in revenue from transmog. I think it was like sometime yesterday. And the funniest thing about all of this, the craziest thing, like, most people get hung up on the fact that it's all transmog. The underwriting thing that cracks me up is, like, 90% of this has been from my iPhone. That's the crazy thing. Like, it's just been me sitting around buying on the iPhone, you know, easily maxing out the 200 transactions a day. Oh, that used to be so frustrating. I don't hit that as much anymore, because I'm just not buying nearly as much. Well, then again, there's also not as much available anymore, because on Proudmoore alone, after the first week, people started to catch on, and they started getting some of the same items that I was getting, and so it's harder to find items on Proudmoore. But some of these other realms, it's still not too bad. It's still relatively easy to find.
You're like Cortez stepping on to the new world.
So it was. It was really fun, and it was like this big exhilarating thing. And then, you know, to your point in one of your previous podcasts, I know I was just like, well, now what? It was like, okay. So that was the big challenge. Was I have a hunch. I think there's a market here. I think there's something really phenomenal that could happen with personalization, and you know, hey, let's spend some real dollars. I don't mind, you know, I'll move some tunes around to different realms. I'll collect some stuff and kind of throw something together and test this hypothesis. And it just really kind of exploded. But I think the interesting thing is how so many people have moved to Twitter to watch this kind of unfold. My Twitter account is like tripled in followers over the last couple of weeks. You know, people just coming in and just trying to see, like, what are things, the first questions were, well, what are things selling for and what should I price things for? And, but then it became more practical advice, like, don't drop your prices, you know, don't worry so much about undercutters in this market, because, this is like window shopping. Just put it up there. Buyers are going to be coming along and they're going to be seeing these things. They're rare enough where, at least most of the sets are, they're rare enough where you don't necessarily have to undercut and charge down the market. It's a different kind of market. You know, leave the dress in the window, leave the tuxedo in the window. And if there's two tuxedos, that's fine. Both tuxedos are going to get bought, and they're both going to get bought at high prices. And that's, you know, it's just little practical tidbits of advice like that that I give people, like, you know what? If you think you got a valuable item, don't drop your price. Just keep it up. Great example here was the Exodar Lifestaff not too long ago, that somebody was asking about, oh, I really want to drop my price. I really want to drop it. And I said, no, stick it out. And it finally sold, and they got the price that they wanted. And right now I'm doing a little chronological example of a pair of singing crystal axes that are sitting on my server. And it's the same thing. It's two people fighting it out, going after what is a behavior that they're accustomed to with gold making is you undercut, you undercut, you undercut. Well, this transmog is a different market. It's window shopping. And if you leave something up there for a while, eventually somebody's going to walk along and odds are they're going to buy it.
Yeah.
At least definitely right now. And that was my hunch. And I saw somebody do this with two crystal axes. They went all the way down to 2,000 gold. And I was like, this is silly. And I bought one, the other one sold. And I turned around, posted it, and a day later it sold for over 12K. And it's happening again where there's two singing crystal axes, and I've seen them whittle their way down. And just as I was putting my son down to bed a moment ago, I checked the auction house again, and now they're down to 3,000. And I'm just like, oh, my God. The behavior is so innate to undercut and to push the market down that they haven't really learned the market yet, and they're missing the point. You don't need to do that with transmog items.
Yeah, I've actually had some experience with that. I've espoused that belief in podcasts and posts, basically talking about picking your price and kind of sticking to it for various items. Like an example of this for me is a handful of obsidian bolts. Like my price is 27, well, between 17 and 27 gold each. I'll sell them one at a time. You know, I'll sell them in singles. And no matter how the market dips, like I can always bring it back to that. Another example is like Inferno Rubies, like not selling them below like 175. Well, at the time, 175. Now they're like over 300. But, and I had to basically, I had on my transmogging items, I said maybe, you know, 40 or so. And you do start to, like, after it's been up for a week or so, you start to, like, think, like, maybe it's too expensive, but no, it's not. Like, as I've just been able to maintain my prices, they've sold, like, and I've seen other people do exactly what you said, where I've seen Aegis of Stormwinds dropping. And those ones end up getting bought out, but mine still end up selling for, you know, close to 1,000 gold or something like that.
They still sell. They still sell. So especially if it's one of those items that, you know, we've already kind of called out as being unique or desirable for whatever reason there. And there's still so many. I mean, you know, if I had a couple of free hours to just really sit down and do something productive in this regard, the first thing I would do is I'd actually go over to Wowhead and I would browse through all of their gear sets. I would probably check out Icy Veins, check out all their gear sets as well, and look to see, okay, what are they covering any BOEs? And if they are covering BOEs, what do those things look like? Because most of my knowledge has come from WoW roleplay gear as well as my own. And this is really sad. Like, I can't even view this stuff with Mogget. I haven't even tried Mogget because I just don't spend any time in games.
Yeah.
So if I see an icon on my iPhone of a item that I don't recognize, and I know this by heart by now, I jump over into Safari, I load up Wowhead, and I, you know, type it in and pull up a screenshot of it to see what it looks like. So it's a really painstaking process. But again, when you're sitting there in the dark and there's nothing else to do, that's kind of the way that I do it. But I do think my lists that people have asked for and that we've posted probably only cover maybe 40% of the good stuff, because I can think of probably, you know, 15, 20 sets off the top of my head that aren't even on that list that I still look for and try to get, and things that I've added, and other sets that I'm like, hey, I've never seen that before. What is that? And little did I know it was another rare set that was out of Blackrock Spire or something like that. And so there's still so much out there that hasn't been listed. And the advice that I give people is, you know, it's one of those gold making things, you know, take what we have put out there, but it doesn't necessarily mean go replicate it. It means
engage,
learn
your brain
from it and grow from that. And there's real simple things like with robes. Robes are a great entry point into transmog because it's sort of a catch-all piece for casters in mm-hmm. terms of what their look is going to be. It's the biggest driver from a visual standpoint. So if you take a look at the robes that are available, you don't need a list. You just need to click on each one and see what each one looks like and ask yourself, have I seen this before? does this look unique? Does this look old school? Is it a really hot color that I find annoying? Well, if it starts to separate itself from the pack, you probably want to pick it up if it's a really cheap price. And by cheap, I mean, like when I'm on some of these new realms and I'm looking to flip some robes for a profit, I won't buy anything more expensive than 10 gold. But what anything I buy, like robes that typically show up in that line would be the simple robe, the disciple's robe, the hibernal robe, the scholarly robe, aboriginal robe. All of those are an easy flip for 500 gold, and in some cases mm-hmm. I can get 750 to 900 because they're different. They stand out. They're really simple. What's another? There was another one. I forget what it was. I just posted it. Journeyman, the journeyman robe. The journeyman robe has like a blue and white look that's similar to Jaina Proudmoore's look, actually. Mm-hmm. And the journeyman robe is one of the first robes that is a BOE drop for levelers. It's like one of the first things that you can pick up by killing, you know, boars or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, that thing, it's an easy flip for like 750. Easily. And that's on like all realms, except for maybe one realm type, which I'm sure we'll get to mm-hmm. in a minute.
Did you want to, talk about, do you want to get into what you've been doing with your iPhone lately, or did you have something that you want to talk about first?
No, I mean, that kind of covers it. I mean, you know, that's the sort of the full story up to the big bang. and now it's kind of become a series of little side projects, I guess you could call them, where the first thing that kind of arose was somebody from a low population RP server was like, hey, that's fine and dandy that you've been destroying Proudmoore, but come do this on a low population RP server, and sort of laid out the challenge. And, you know, of course me, I'm really not in it for the gold. I'm more in it for just sort of figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm on it. let me know where to go and I'll go check it out. And, some people saw me post about that I was going to go over to this realm. So I went over and I took a look and this person fronted me, like 100 gold to just sort of get started. And actually, now that I think of it, this came up because I started doing it on random realms, didn't I? Yeah, I did. I was doing it on mm-hmm. a couple of random
yeah,
realms.
Is the second part of your story.
I know my timeline's all screwed up. So the first thing I started doing was jumping onto random realms to see, because I was starting to second guess my realm, because mm-hmm. people were so surprised at the prices I was getting that I was like, is it my realm? Is it something that I'm doing on this?
Yeah, I have to admit, I was a little, I was a little bit like, wow, this is almost like a fluke.
I know, well, because I think at one point I posted that I had sold a green chess piece for 10,000 gold. And at that point, I think you had drawn the line in the sand and you were just like, that's just crazy. Like
crazy.
That's just insane. But this was also after selling green after green after green at 5,000 gold and 3,000 gold and 4,000 gold. And I mean, I'm posting screenshots from my iPhone to my Twitter account now, because I finally got to the point where I was like, you know what? I bet people just aren't going to believe me. So I started posting screenshots and people were just like, you know, tweeting me like, my jaw just dropped. I can't believe you're getting these prices. So I started to move over to to some other realms, and I stayed on high pop realms like Storm Rage and stuff like that. And I went over and I just, you know, you go on any of these realms now and you immediately get a random guild invite to a level 25 guild because they just want the population. Mm-hmm. And, I'd get into these guilds and I'd just say, hey, I'm an investor here to test the market. Anyone want to give me 25 gold? And sure enough, I was able to do that on two different realms. And within a day and a half, I was doing the same methodology that I was doing on Proudmoore, picking up items between, you know, 3 gold, 10 gold, and flip after flip, hour after hour, I was able to accumulate enough gold to the point where within a day and a half, on both realms, I'd made between 5,000 and 7,000 gold. And then I was like, well, okay, so the theory's sound, the methodology works, you can go and start it up on any of these servers, but I didn't want to stay on those servers, there was no point, so people that had given me the gold, I mailed it back to them, and then I still had like 20 transmog items in my inventory, really good items, so I attached all those as well, and I just said, hey, thanks for being a good
Samaritan.
Here you
go, kid.
I know,
your jersey.
Give me my data points. I don't need to be here anymore. If you want to start a transmog empire, this is how you do it. Start with these items and flip each one for no less than 500 gold. Mm-hmm. And you know, deleted my character and everything. So there's like no way for them to even find me. So it's just really funny.
I'm sorry. This number is disconnected.
Exactly.
You're like, wait a minute. Was this just a dream?
Yeah. So that's when this one person on Twitter, I think, sort of saw that and was like, yeah, that's all fine and great that you're doing that, but you're doing it on high pop realm, so why don't you come take your muscle to this low population RP realm? And I was like, oh, I'm on it. You know, I can actually communicate
challenge
with somebody about this on Twitter. We can, you know, make it kind of an event. Meanwhile, my banker back on Proudmoore is slowly getting less and less and less attention as I'm playing all these little side games with people on Twitter.
It's all on your, mostly all on your phone. So
yeah, I know.
Besides logging in initially.
So I went over to the Scryer's realm, jumped on their low pop RP server. The player gave me 100 gold to start out, and you know, just started flipping some things. And word started to get out on Twitter because people were seeing me talk about how I'd gone off to this realm, and a couple of people were sort of like, "Hey, I'd love to invest in that too. I saw how you were able to turn that around within a couple of days and make like 5,000 gold. If you want to, you know, take your little iPhone game that you're doing over to my server, come on over." And then other people were like, you know what, this is just funny. Like some other gold makers were like, this just cracks me up. So like, you know, you and M. Sheritz both said the same thing. You were like, you know what, this is just too funny. Come over to my realm as well. You know, I want to see if you can do it on my realm.
Backwater.
And then
backwards.
Then,
sorry, I was originally calling my realm Backwater, but then I ended up deleting it and calling it backwards.
But then there were some genuine sort of cries for help, though, from a couple of people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've tried your methodology, I've tried your items, it's not working for me, can you help? And it was like, oh, that's a genuine reason to actually go to this, to a new realm and try to see if I can help somebody. So there's been a couple of different threads that I've been doing, and I'm on, I think, like 8 realms right now. In some realms, it's just trying to be a broker for somebody. In other realms, it's genuinely trying to sort of, you know, show them what are the items that you want to take off the auction house. And so, like, the other night, I was actually in Ogrimmar with another player, and they were on their banker, and we were both searching the auction house at the same time and talking in party chat, and I was saying, okay, do you see this item? You know, this is a really good one. This is what you want to get, and this is why. And they gave me 100 gold, and I started buying up a few items, and then I opened trade with them, and I sort of displayed the items, and I said, okay, here's the items that I'm grabbing, and this is why I'm grabbing them, and click on each one so you can get a sense of what it looks like, and this is why I'm taking your money that you've invested in, and I'm going to flip these particular items. And it was funny because I had spent down to, I only had like 40 gold left, and the butcher, a blue sword, I think it's a one-hander, popped up on the auction house. And the butcher is one of my favorite flips because it's always less than 50 gold, and it always goes for more than 750 gold, mm-hmm. more than 750 gold. And I saw it, and I sort of said to the player, I said, you know, if I were you, I'd grab the butcher right now, and I would flip it for 750. And the player was like, yeah, no, I don't think so. And then I said, okay. Well, within an hour, I had made like 700 gold, and I turned around, the butcher was still there, so I bought the butcher, and about 8 hours ago, it sold for 750 gold.
Oh, my gosh. The butcher, for people who don't know, looks like a giant sword scimitar cleaver combo.
Oh, it's fantastic. The reason people go for the butcher is because it's fat and it's huge. It's a big blade. So that's kind of been my project lately, is just jumping around on these different servers and for different reasons, kind of helping people out. And now it's actually gotten to the point where other people are asking me on Twitter, and I don't think I can take on anymore. I want to roll through the servers that I'm on, get to about 5,000 gold on each one, and sort of set people off a little bit, and then keep moving. Actually, I just checked on yours. I'm at like I think like 1.7k.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. And I've got, oh man, the inventory that I have on your server. I picked up a green tower shield and a full set of Lord's mail, and there's some really good stuff I've got. I should sell really well.
So it wasn't my server, it was me.
Yeah, it was you. So this gets into the whole server discussion that I've kind of been hot to trot on Twitter for really like the last 24 hours.
The ones
or so.
Where it's like four posts that are each 140 characters.
like maybe you should go to do a blog. And the minute I start talking about a blog, I hear Disenchanting Azeroth fans going, "If you're going to do a blog, you better get back to making those charts again. Don't you dare go into the gold maker."
Those charts, I have to tell you, out of all the things I've read and all the things I've seen about World of Warcraft over the years, those are some of the most beautiful, well laid out, interesting, useful things I've seen.
Oh, they were fun to do. I've gotten a lot of emails on the side, like to killall at deazeroth.com. Like, can I help? Is there something I can do? Can I, is there anything I can do from my end to help get Disenchanting Azeroth back up? And I even had a guy literally take the time to do all the screenshots for pole arms on his own and send me all the images. So there's a lot of momentum of people trying to get me to get back on that, and we'll see. I might be able to spend a little bit of time on it going forward, but anyway. So the realm stuff. So the latest thing that I've been talking about on Twitter is the differences that I'm noticing as I'm going from realm to realm. And for the most part, high population, low population, middle of the road, the model works, with one exception, and that's the low population RP realm. And that got me thinking about the three realms that I'm on, even though Proudmoore is my main, that I've made just about 400,000 on Proudmoore. I've made 60,000 on Earthen Ring Horde, and I did have a character on Moonguard RP Alliance. But then it just got so stale, because I only made maybe 9 or 10,000 gold. But the big differences that I noticed between the three servers that I was on, even though they were all high population, RP was like pulling teeth. And the general consensus on Twitter was, if you're on an RP realm, for the most part, players already had a lot of that gear. They already had a look that they wanted to maintain. I do think Earthen Ring is a bit of a hybrid there, though. Even though it's an RP realm, so many players go there because they're fans of the instance. I mean, that's the whole reason I ended up over there. I was like, I'm going to go become part of the instance community.
I'll put you up as a boss.
Yeah, exactly. Never actually got into it and ended up just sort of hanging out over there. But that server's actually doing pretty well. 60,000 over there. But it made me start thinking long and hard as I got onto these new realms about the differences between the different realms and why high population versus low population, RP versus non-RP, what was doing exceptionally well, what wasn't doing so well. And I think the general hypothesis right now is that if you're on a high population, non-RP realm, strike while the iron's hot. Now is the time. It's like trending in New York City. Now's the time to hit transmog. You've got enough players on your server that are probably dropping a ton of greens without realizing it. Low-end stuff that you can pick up and flip. And there's probably enough of disposable income on the market as well to be able to charge the high prices. Mid-tier realms, I'm noticing you can still get the high prices. You can still charge like 400, 500, 600 gold for a breastplate or for a robe. 1,000, 2,000 gold for a really unique weapon or potentially a shield. But once you start getting into the low population realms, it's really hard because you just don't have enough players dropping greens and items on the auction house that you can flip. And then you also are probably running into a little bit of challenge of disposable income for transmogrification. And if you add the RP clause to that, and I think that's what we're seeing on the Scryer's realm right now, is stuff just is not selling. And I'm seeing some beautiful items on their auction house. It's killing me. It's beautiful stuff that sells for anywhere from 400 gold to easily 5,000 gold, some of the items that I've seen. And they're being priced anywhere from 2 gold to 20 gold, and they're sitting. And nobody's buying them. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Well, I mean,
they're frustrated as well.
On the flip side, you already alluded to the fact that you had kind of prospected out an RP realm and transferred over. So on the flip side, people that want to kind of follow that paradigm and are willing to spend a little money.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You know, picking up, doing a couple transfers like you did might be able to kind of send out little level one spies to these realms and just watch them. And then if you find a right picking ground, go ahead and head over there if you think there's enough to justify and pick up a big haul and move it over. And
yeah, you could. I mean, I'm certainly precedence for that. I mean, if you have a not necessarily disposable income in real life, but you know, if a transfer fee isn't that big of a deal, if you're going to do it, my recommendation would be to go to a high population realm though, to make sure that when you go, you can grab a ton of stuff, you know, load all of your bags, load your entire bank. Like the Scryers, I was a little tempted not to go and grab the items because there's just not enough. I was actually tempted to bring kind of like a road show to the low population realm. And I don't think I would do it because of the RP nature of it, because the items that are there aren't selling. But the thought of sort of like these low population realms, there's just not enough turnover of the greens, the green armors, the stuff that's really attractive. There's not enough turnover of it onto the auction house, I think, to generate enough interest. And it also means if you don't have enough innovators on your realm that are wearing this stuff to sort of advertise what it's all about, you're not going to tip the trend of transmogrification. So what I was thinking was, what if I took the inventory that I still have on Proudmoore, and given I've gone through most of what I had before 4.3, I've been continuing to buy on a cycle, you know, really daily since then. So I've increased my inventory and replaced a lot of stuff, but I'm tempted, what if you took the whole inventory, brought it to a low population server that really didn't have much on the shelves, kind of like taking all the fashions from Paris and ending up in Podunk, Idaho, and just walking into the local high school and being like, here it is, you got to pay, you know, you got to go dig up your penny bank in the backyard to pay for this stuff. But this is it. This is what it looks like. This is what you can buy. And just inundate the auction house and see what happens. I'm really curious to do it.
I like the idea. I was going to ask you actually a little bit earlier, do you think that one of the main reasons why you have success on realms that you've sold on for a while is because there's more people wearing the items and more people right-clicking, inspect, and seeing what the transmog?
I do. You do get a sense when you're on a realm if people are really into it. The first thing that you'll notice is people in trade chat, you know, hey, we need men for Black Temple. We need people for Sunwell. We're going back to ICC. We're going into SSC. We're going here. We're going there. That's the first sign. The second sign is in the major cities. If you see people in the normal posing areas, and I'm going to say Stormwind only because I've spent so much time on Proudmoore having to go back and forth into the auction house to post things that people are always standing out on those steps. And there's always going to be people in those areas that will continue to kind of show off their wares. That's where you get things like Elixir of Giant Growth is starting to be priced really well. I found out about that because I saw somebody else was huge, and I was like, that's not fair. My outfit's way cooler than yours, dude. Like, how did you get so big? And then I saw that he had the elixir of giant growth.
Deepstone oil also. If you
deepstone oil,
get
yeah,
on your mount.
Strike a pose. Yeah, that's like, I think that should be renamed Vogue oil. So I went in and checked for elixir of giant growth, and it was something like, you know, 32 gold. And I was like, wow, that's actually kind of expensive. I should post that to Twitter real quick. But then I was like, and at the same time, I'm going to grab five because I'm going to need these. You know, and I bought them and ran out. And that's the thing, you know, it takes one to know one. If I'm buying those on a whim, somebody else is going to be doing the same thing. So I think even Kalior was saying, you know, hey, yeah, I'm posting those things at like 16 gold. I was thinking, dude, you should probably post those at like 50.
The elixir of giant growth.
Yep.
Huh.
So that was a good one. But you know, there's that. If you post a trade chat like, hey, does anybody know any good resources for transmog? And if you see people posting WoW roleplay gear, Icy Veins, World of Wardrobes, then you've got some people that really know their stuff. If they mention Disenchanting Azeroth, which they never do, you know, that's obviously somebody who really kind of is more of a transmog nut as well. Mm-hmm. Most people will say WoWhead, which kind of tells me, all right, there's some mainstream interest in transmogrification.
Well, yeah, well, WoWhead has actually, when I was doing the post for you, when I was putting in all your links, or all the links into your sets, I pretty much had to pull them from a bunch of different resources. There's about five different websites. I just kind of Googled the set and then whatever kind of one came up. But there's actually, in WoWhead, they have set, like transmog sets. If you go under database and then under browse to items, you can click and under browse transmog sets, then you click on that and it'll actually take you to the listings that they have. So they do have some nice stuff going on. I don't know if it's kind of, I'm not sure how they set this up. They might, if they went through and kind of,
I'll have to take a look. Yeah. What was on there last time was good. They put a lot of effort into the stuff that they have over there. It's, yeah, it's a really nice gallery. You can move through and view things dynamically and you know, get a feel for what's bind on equip, what's only male, what's only for hunters.
Yeah.
I know one other thing I was going to say. The other thing that I'm tracking right now is, so we've got some general hypotheses around low pop versus high pop, RP versus non-RP. The other thing that I'm starting to do, and I'm kicking myself that I didn't think of this before 4.3 hit, is I'm starting to track who my buyers are, meaning what race are they, what class are they, what items are they buying.
Are you doing what sex they are?
Actually, I wasn't. And
you should.
Maybe I should. Because now that I think of it, a big portion of them have been female when I've seen the character, when I've looked it up. Mm-hmm. But the initial hypothesis that I had was, if you look at the character models, particularly on the Horde side, I just said, you know, that's just, it's so hard to see and have an, you know, really be able to have an appeal for a lot of the armor from Vanilla and from Burning Crusade because the character models just don't really showcase it very well.
Like male trolls, for example.
Yeah, the trolls, you know, the chest is really kind of hunched inward. Orcs, the head is so big, you know, it's all disproportionate. So the upper body really kind of overshadows the chest piece.
Yeah, gnomes, you can't really see their chests.
Yeah,
dwarfs,
gnomes,
have
goblins,
beards.
Worgens. So we initially got talking about this, and a couple of people replied on Twitter, and they were like, you know, I could kind of see that. And I thought, geez, I wonder if that's translating over into buying behavior as well. So that's when I started tracking who was buying. And sure enough, last I looked, there was like, the last 20 purchases on Horde side, 18 of them were Blood Elf, which was just like, okay, you don't want to jump to a conclusion that at 20, I want to get a bigger sample size, but that already was showing that, the character models that are that don't necessarily showcase armor and things like that very well. They weren't the customers for transmogrification.
I guess say for just myself, I know I'm a lot more. Say I'm a dwarf. I don't really care at all about the chest piece because my beard. But on my Draenei male, I'm like, I really want to have a nice chest because he has like this huge, you know, chest that just sticks out because he's, you know, proud and all that kind of stuff. And it really shows off, especially like you were talking about the detailing that gets lost. I know on gnomes and stuff, gnomes pretty much including waist or pants and shirt and all that doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
But shoulders mean a huge amount to gnomes because that's one of the only ways.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And I mean, so. If you look at Horde side as well, with so much lost in the chest piece, because of the nature of the character model, that's why shoulders and the helm become so critical. And I think weapons to a degree as well. So the flip side is Alliance, something like the last 25 or 30 sales. It was a 30-30-30 split between Draenei, human, and Night Elves.
Mm-hmm.
So no dwarves, no gnomes, no worgen, which, again, sort of validates the theory that the character models are somewhat limiting in terms of the desire to transmogrification. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the tier sets being designed, naturally you go to the artist and you say, yeah, you guys did a great job conforming that gear to these awkward models, but when you have to consider all this stuff from a gold making standpoint, you have to step back and go, yeah, but what looks good and is worth selling, and the data that's starting to come back that I'm tracking is saying, look, it's not going to sell very well on Horde side unless you've got a population that's riddled with blood elves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not weapons notwithstanding, of course, weapons and shields will probably do just fine. And on the Alliance side, so if somebody were to say, okay, place your money, place your chip, who's going to make more money going forward, Horde or Alliance for transmogrification? I'm going to put my money on Alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do want you to do some, or I might have to do some at some point, research into, like I was saying on Twitter, warcraftrealms.net to see some of the breakdowns of what is actually the most played class. It could just be that there's Blood Elves are a disproportionately played class for the Horde in general.
Yeah.
I would guess that they are, and in the Alliance side, I would guess that humans are definitely one of the top, if not the top, played class, and followed by Draenei females and Night Elf. Actually, surprisingly, males. A lot of them, there's kind of, I would imagine, but you know, so there's other tools out there, and it's really an interesting.
Well, and the male versus female is it's totally valid. You know, who's buying it, male versus female, because the gear changes dramatically when you go from male to female, and that's sort of the difference in a lot of the tier gear nowadays. It's so homogenized.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back to vanilla, like if you grab, like let's take like the ornate male or lord's male, like that picture that I posted the other day, that lord's male set is so revealing on a female character, it blows my mind. I mean, it just shows everything. Whereas if you had that on a male character, it actually covers the majority of the body.
Mm-hmm.
But on the female character, it's showing the midriff, it's showing the butt, it's showing the legs, it's just showing everything. And now that I think of it, I mean, the sales that I have looked at, the majority of them have been female characters that have been doing the buying. And I'm sure a lot of people are thinking like, well, no, it's probably just the banker that's doing the buying. No, these are not bankers doing the buying. If it's clearly a banker or a cloth wearer is the buyer and they're buying plate, I don't record it. I wipe the data. What I'm looking for is who's actually going to wear the data. And in some cases, I actually track back and see if they have transmogrified their gear, and they have. But in most cases, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's level 85 characters buying equipment and gear that suits exactly what they would wear.
Yeah, and the interesting, one of the things that the armory started to do now is it shows your transmogged gear on your character. So it'll be interesting to kind of like, you know, who, like, put faces to the names kind of and see how some of your buyers are choosing to, and also if it has listings of the transmogged items to actually start, you know, kind of keeping track, okay, you know, what are people doing, since I'm looking, you know, right now, and I'm looking at my character, and I can see I have the Dawnslayer helm transmogrified to deadly biooptic kill shades, you know, and I might have to do that as well for Warcraft looks, to kind of start just pulling, since we have the data, to just even, you know, just be able to pull some data right off of the armory without, you know, since you're seeing some, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I think it's totally valid. In fact, I Skyped back in August with the owner of WoW Popular, because we were talking a little bit about what I eventually did with Disenchanting Azeroth, and we were trying to figure out, is there a reason to try to do what I wanted to do on WoW Popular and to try to leverage that brand and that site? And the owner of WoW Popular, his plan, he told me at the time, was to be able to leverage the armory, and in the same way that he's able to create databases that just populate his main page to say, here's what everyone's using for glyphs, here's the most popular specs, here's the most popular you know, pieces of gear for raiding. His thought was he would be able to track the data in such a way that he could also say, and here are the most popular transmogrifications for these classes. I've looked over there every now and then. I don't see it up there yet, so I don't know if he's not going to do it or if he just hasn't figured out a way to do it yet, but I know he was looking into it.
I'm just playing around on the armory right now, and if you mouse over the little gear wheel in the bottom, you can say, it can say export character image, and it can export a nice character image without any of the UI or anything. So I might have to start shopping around, and maybe I'll start looking for some characters on Proudmoore. I might have to start seeing if I can find people that are the beneficiaries of your goods that you've been selling. So lots of really exciting stuff. I'm really glad to have you on the podcast. Is there any kind of other topics you want to talk about before we kind of wrap up?
I don't think so. Hopefully we haven't completely bored your audience with all this talk about gear and looks, and we've gotten at least some gold making talk in here.
Well, give them your 1 minute version of what they should do if they want to get into transmogging, into the transmogrification
mark. Yeah, actually, that's a good tee up. I think about this really every other day with one of these new realms I walk into, and I say, okay, how am I going to get started in building this? And what I do is you can reference the list that Flux has posted over at powerwargold.net on his blog. It's a really good starting point for items to target for flips. I've been starting with literally with like 25 gold in some realms, sometimes 50. Rare occasions, people are nice enough to give me 100 gold. But with as little as 25 gold, you can start flipping things like green armor robes. You can start flipping things like the plate, chest, legs, mail. I wouldn't dive into leather right away. I wouldn't dive into weapons or shields. The trick with weapons and shields is the player has to have that particular weapon in order to transmogrify it. So you may think you've got a great two-handed sword. Well, that means only people wielding a two-handed sword can actually use that weapon. Whereas if you have a piece of plate that's a chest piece, every plate wearer can wear it. Mm, so you have a much broader audience to start with if you start with armor and then move into weapons and shields later. That's kind of what I would do. I'd start with that list. I'd take it real slow. Don't spend more than 15 gold on a single item that you look to flip. Wait till you get a good base of, I'd say, you know, maybe 750 gold. Then you can start to raise your limit from 15 gold to maybe 20, maybe 25. Keep in mind, with anything you flip comes a cost. The higher the item level, the more expensive it is to flip. So if you're starting out on maybe a new realm with only like 25 gold like I am, you have to be really, really careful about what you flip, because in some cases I'll be like, oh, this is great, I just bought this one piece for 20 gold, but then it's going to cost me 4 gold to flip it. You got to be really, really careful. Don't cancel your auctions. Always post them up for like, you know, 48 hours. Just let them sit. If somebody else comes in, they start undercutting you like crazy, the only time you have to worry about it, at least in my opinion, on mid to high population realms, is if you start to see like 7, 8, and 9 items of the same exact thing. If there's only one, if there's only two, I wouldn't worry about it. It will, the other one will sell. Leave your item up there, and more than likely, it'll move. And if it doesn't move in the first 48 hours, don't worry about it. If you've got a really high priced item that you want 5,000 gold for and you think it's a reasonable price, if it's unique, if you can justify that it's worth that much gold, chances are you're probably in a good place. Let it ride. If it takes 2 weeks to sell it, that's fine. Let it go. Somebody on Proudmoore from 4.3, and the day that the patch was released, posted a forget what it was called. I think it's a Zulian ceremonial staff. It's a rare BOE that there's really only one or two models like it in game, but they've had it sitting at 99,000 gold since the patch release, and it's sort of like, okay, I admire the persistency, but you're not going to get that much money for that weapon, because there's either another way to get it, or it's just too much money. So I think you got to be reasonable. If you're a transmog fiend like I am, the best way to figure out how much to price your item for is to ask yourself, how much would you be willing to pay for it? And once you get that number in your mind, realize that there's probably someone else out there like you, and what you need to do is target someone like yourself. So you're almost kind of selling to yourself in a way. Put that stuff up there. Have confidence and hang tight. Don't let anybody push you around, because transmogrification is a different market than most of what we've become used to in Warcraft. It's window shopping. It sells differently. It can be priced differently. It's very dynamic, and you got to do a little bit of research. It's not going to appeal to everyone, but I think for those that it does appeal to, you have a unique opportunity to differentiate yourself from other gold makers and make some gold, definitely on medium to high population realms, absolutely, to start. And as the trends start to buck on the lower population realms, you know, have your inventory ready. And when the trend hits, be ready to load your shelves.
Awesome. And transmogrification is one of the few completely new things that we have in gold making to play around with, and we're just seeing the beginning of it, like you said, in the adoption curves. Everybody's always going to need gear, good looking gear for the rest of the time World of Warcraft's around. So learning the market is definitely not going to be a bad thing for anybody, and I have a lot to learn, and I appreciate you coming on to the podcast and bestowing us with your knowledge. I'll kiss your ring here, Mogfather.
That was awesome. Thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Do you want to let people know how they can get a hold of you again and follow the wonderful crazy adventures of Keel Hall?
These days, Twitter. That's the number one place to catch me. So the handle is at DEAzeroth. .com. So DEAzeroth.
Awesome. Definitely worth following. And you can follow us or read more. The post that Keel Hall was talking about was called Keel Hall's Big Flippin' Mogging List. If I got it right. Yeah. Keel Hall's Big Flippin' Mogging List. And actually, go to Powered Gold search Keel Hall or scroll down. It's on the front page at the moment now. And go to the full post, and on the bottom of that post is actually a link to all of his other guest posts that he did. So that's kind of a one-stop shop for all the backstory. And also be sure to go to disenchantingazeroth.com for the ability to see all those awesome charts that we were talking about. They're really worth it if you're looking for items, not necessarily even to sell, but just for your own looks. Again, you can find us on Twitter at PowerWordGold and Facebook.com/PowerWordGold. So that's the good stuff. Keel, thanks so much for coming. And we will see everybody next time. Thanks a lot.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Music for this edition of the Power of Gold podcast includes Dreams Away, Thousand Smiling Clowns, and Prenatal Memory from the band Sheol from the album I, the Cosmos Preview. To find more by Sheol, you can head to jamendo.com. That's jamendo.com/en/album/98627. All music was used under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information about Creative Commons licensing, head to creativecommons.org.